Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Wow. That was actually a really fun game. Really, really fun game. You know, when you talk about the Raptors, obviously they lost to the Nuggets. Like, everybody in the world could have told you that the Raptors are going to lose to the Nuggets tonight. Raptors had nine players play tonight, and the starters were Kelly Olynyk, Bruce Brown, RJ Barrett, Ochai Agbaji, Grady Dick, Jalen McDaniels, Jordan Wara, Jonte Porter, Javon Freeman-Liberty. Those are your four subs off the bench. Literally those guys versus the actual reigning champions, who are very healthy too. Like, they're starting five, the best starting five in basketball, in my opinion, all together, all intact, all playing really good at a high level. You know, you're in Denver, which, you know, they're 26-6 at home. You're not going to beat them. Having said that, though, the Raptors gave it a really good effort, and they lost it in the end, losing 125-119. But you got to be nothing but proud of the team. You got to salute the team, quite frankly. And I haven't said that very often, and there hasn't been many reasons to say that very often, unless you're just straight up cheerleading for the group. But they played with a lot of heart. They played with a lot of focus, and they started this game catching the Nuggets by surprise. I don't think the Nuggets were expecting the Raptors to come out and give them that type of fight. Maybe the Nuggets saw the film of, you know, that New Orleans game, or even that Phoenix game, the way they started those games, and they just, or the Portland game, and they thought they could just come out and the Raptors would just shoot themselves in the foot and be down 15, 16 points, because that's how those games typically went. Raptors just start off really slowly, but the Raptors actually got off to a really good start. They led in after the first quarter, 34-32. They had built up a substantial lead. Even within the first quarter, they gave up a little bit of it. And then the second quarter came around, and the Raptors really put a hurting on the Nuggets bench. The Raptors bench played really well. And yeah, I mean, they had the lead, and they played really, really, you know, just focused, like, I think, with intention. And I think from game to game, you definitely want to see, not necessarily the Raptors change the results. I think that's asking for way too much against a team like the Nuggets, who are, you know, for me, favorites to repeat. They're that good of a team. But what you want to see is at least, okay, let's improve in some of the margins. Okay, we suck at certain things. Can we not suck at the next time out? And I think right now the Raptors have been really bad to start games, really slow to start games. How can they start out faster? And I like the way they start out in this game. I mean, outside of the fact that the Raptors couldn't box out Jokic the whole time, and Jokic finished with 17 rebounds and 6 offensive as well, in addition to all the other things that Jokic does, and we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, outside of Jokic, you know, hurting them, which you would always expect Jokic to hurt the Raptors, unless he's getting guarded by OG or something, which obviously that's not going to happen no more. But the Raptors actually took it back to him. That's how you attack Jokic, really. You know, you see Kelly being super aggressive to start the game. I thought he really set the tone for them offensively, just playing fearless, just playing free. You know, Kelly with a corner three, Kelly with a mid-range pull-up, Kelly, you know, tried an end-to-end layup, like literally ripped the rebound, go the whole way, and honestly got to the layup. He just missed it. But then followed that up with another pull-up three from the top of the floor. Like, he was doing a really good job. And, you know, I thought Grady really, for, you know, all the moments in the Portland game, which felt like he came up short, Grady came out this one super aggressive, 2 steals in the first quarter, a putback where he flew over 2 guys to tap it back in, you know, try to pull up 3, which I feel like he hasn't done this season in terms of dribbling up the floor and then just getting a screen and then pulling up. And he missed the first shot. It was a good shot, though. I liked it. And then the second time, he tried it again, and he actually made it, this time in transition. So I think that the Raptors came out fearless. They came out with the intent to attack. And, of course, like, you're looking at this whole thing like, okay, this is not going to last. But then the Raptors make it even better, and all of a sudden, their second unit comes in. And I think the impact sub tonight was Jonte Porter, who, you know, took a decent amount of time guarding Jokic, despite the fact that Kelly was starting. And so, you know, you're not going to see that much of Jonte, the backup center, matching him against Jokic. But, you know, I think you saw Kelly come out of the game earlier. You saw Jonte get in the game later. You also see Jokic plays a lot of the first, a lot of the third quarter as well. So he's going to have some time against reserves. And out of all the guys that guarded Jokic tonight, Jonte did a good job. And look, this is one of those things where you would never know it by watching the box score, right? You would never see, like, okay, a man having 35 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists, 6 steals, 2 blocks in 37 minutes, shooting 14 of 26 from the floor, 6 of 6 on the foul line. You would never say that that man was struggling against anybody. And I wouldn't go as far as to say he's struggling against Jonte overall, but Jonte did a really good job, like, you know, being physical, matching him the length of the floor, bumping him, like giving it his everything. And, you know, in the moments where he had to go one-on-one against Jokic in the post, I thought he sat on the spin move really, really well. And, of course, Jokic had the counters. I mean, Jokic always has counters, right? He's got literally every counter in the book. And you saw in the second half, after a first half of, you know, Jonte doing a good job defensive against him, you saw him actually hit like a double spin where he spun one way, then spun back the other way for a so like little counters like that, which, you know, I'm not again, I wasn't expecting anybody, let alone Jonte, to be stopping Jokic like that. But I thought Jonte actually gave a really good effort, and offensively he kind of continued what Kelly Olynyk did, right? I mean, he came in this game, and yeah, you want to see Wara with the or you want to see Jonte with some assists as well, and he had 5 assists, which is great. But I think most importantly for him, the make or break skill is how much can you hit the three. And I think for Jonte tonight, he showed an ability and an aggressiveness and a willingness to play free, to take the threes that are within the offense, whether they're in the corner, whether they're at the top of the floor, which is most likely for a big, especially for a facilitating big like that. You obviously can mostly going to facilitate from the top of the floor. Yeah, Jonte with 4 threes made, 5 of 9, and including some of the second half when the Raptors were losing the advantage. So I was just really happy to see Jonte back in the rotation. I wasn't really quite sure why Jonte was taken out of the rotation for a while. But, you know, he's been able to get back into these games now. And obviously, every time Jakob gets hurt, it's an opportunity for someone else. And it's that someone else is typically speaking going to be Jonte. But especially now with the super unfortunate news that Chris Boucher suffered as a partial strain of his MCL, maybe a slight tear. It seems like he's not going to require surgery, but we did see on that game winning attempt when Chris actually forced overtime, you saw Chris Murray jump and collapse and fall directly on Chris Boucher's knee. So even though Chris was able to play the rest of overtime, I mean, clearly he was playing through pain because he literally had an ACL or an MCL strain on top of that. So who knows if that keeps him out for the season. It doesn't seem like he's going to go for surgery, which I think is a good sign that it's not too serious. In any case, you're now down 3 bigs, right? You don't have, I mean, I wouldn't call Scotty a big, but definitely one of the Raptors' bigger players. You're down 3 front court players, let's just say that. And so, yeah, Jonte gets his chance. And of course, the storyline here is also Jonte gets to go up against his brother, Michael Porter Jr. They've done that before in previous matchups, but I'm sure this is the most that they've actually spent time, you know, playing against one another. And even though they weren't directly matched up, you did see a couple times where, you know, Michael Porter Jr., who was always very efficient with his offense, drove past him a couple times. But I thought Jonte also did a really good job and acquitted himself nicely, like 14 points in response for him, 5 assists. These guys just played really well. And of course, the second unit, I mean, it was the rest of them too. Jalen McDaniels, I thought, came in and gave them, you know, a spark once again, even though it feels like he's just waking up and going into the game. Sometimes he does have like a sheepishness to him, but like he was making some deflections and he was creating some steals and he was stealing the ball like right from the top. And I look, the Nuggets were out of sorts. Let's be honest. The Nuggets were terrible in the second quarter, only scoring 19 points. Raptors outscored them 34-19. A lot of that was turnovers. The Raptors capitalizing on that. So you felt like, okay, it wasn't the most sustainable thing to that. You know what? Once the Nuggets get serious, are you still going to be able to score without being able to just play off of their mistakes? Obviously the answer was no. And we knew that that was going to eventually curtail itself. But at the same time, you got to get the Raptors credit for playing through and playing with that energy. And Jordan Wara, I thought, you know, had an opportunity here. Unfortunately, I don't think he really realized what he could do in this offense. And I think he actually screwed up quite a few possessions outside of being 2 of 7 from the field. But, you know, still, I think defensively he was engaged too, which, for him has always been a little bit questionable too. So ultimately, you just saw a really good effort from the Raptors. Bruce Brown, in his return to Denver, and this is the second time he's returned to Denver, he also went there as a member of the Pacers and got his championship ring. So, but still, like, you obviously, you know, when you win a championship together, everyone's going to be happy to see each other again. So you definitely saw a little bit of that back and forth between Bruce Brown and some of his former players and, you know, the teammates going back at Bruce Brown, vice versa. But I thought even he played well. 13 points, 10 rebounds, played in the dunker, knocked down a 3 from the top, you know, attacked in transition, tacked off the dribble. Like, they had a good idea of how to go about this thing. when the Nuggets were not serious. Now, when the Nuggets became serious, and honestly, Mike Malone took quite a few timeouts in the first half trying to get this group serious. I'm sure he yelled at them in halftime. You know, the Nuggets have this tendency sometimes. We saw last season too, where they just kind of slack off a little bit. You know, they slack off. They're like, all right, we can win. And then they, you know, they hit over, they hit into sort of overdrive and they make a hard push. And when we make that push, I mean, it's terrifying. Like, the, it's not terrifying in the way that, like, I don't know, other teams, like, physically terrifying or even skill wise, it terrifies you. Like, the way, like, I mean, like, physically kind of terrified you to watch, like, the Miami Heat back in the day. It was like, okay, when they turn it on to a next gear, every pass is a chance to get stolen, and then they're dunking the other way, and Dwayne Wade's making posters with LeBron. There's also, like, the scary, like, good, as in, like, the Warriors, where they're so scarily, like, they were shooting from such crazy angles, and like, it was so fast how they were playing, too, and all that kind of stuff, and it was like, okay, it doesn't seem like any team has the skills remotely to hang with that group, especially when they got KD. This Nuggets team is not like those two. They don't overwhelm you with physicality, although obviously Jokic leading on you, Aaron Gordon bodying you, you know, Michael Porter Jr. being super tall and having a high release point. Those things are factors, no doubt. And of course, they're also quite skilled as well. I mean, no one will ever look at Jokic and say he's not skilled. No one will ever say Jamal Murray's not skilled. Jamal had a really slow first half, but second half, he turned it on and was awesome. Made a ton of plays, assists, scoring, you know, ridiculous step throughs, things like that in the second half. They had one play where he was attacking Kelly late clock, and Kelly kind of had him stuck in the post, and Jamal just, like, up fake, pivoted, stepped through, and then finger rolled a layup in from, like, you know, 10 feet out. It just, it's absurd, the skill level that he has. And I wouldn't say they're not skilled either, but, like, it doesn't feel like that kind of avalanche. But when they really do are determined, it's the coordination that they're able to all play with. Everybody knows their role so well. Aaron Gordon knows that little, like, fake floater, it turned into a lob pass from Jokic to get the alley-oop to Gordon, right? We saw that obviously a ton over the years, but especially we saw that in the last game that Denver played against Boston, where they had that late possession where he threw that pass. That happens like 5-10 times a game, it feels like. But Aaron Gordon knows he's in the dunker spot. Otherwise, he knows that if he's left wide open for three, he will take one just to sort of keep them honest, keep them respectful. And he did knock down a key three here. Michael Porter Jr. is just an incredible shooter out of the corners, but also has some size. You know, he can put the ball on the deck a little bit. You know, he obviously understands his role. He's going to be mostly attacking in single coverage, mostly attacking off the catch. It's very, very dangerous to play against a player like that, especially when it's so hard to contest his shot. Jokic and Jamal, the two-man game, which is ultimately, you know, the Nuggets tried to play a little bit more stuff at the start of the game, but as when they got serious, it's just those two guys playing pick and roll, and it's the best two-man combination in the entire league. Like, you can't actually stop it. You the best you can do is limit and contain it, but you, especially with the fact that they got two really good shooters in KCP, who knocked down a key three, and Michael Porter Jr., who knocked down a key three, all in crunch time, and also Aaron Gordon as a threat floating around the basket, also crashing in for rebounds, you can't actually guard this pick and roll. Like, you can't really switch it. Nobody really has the players to just, like, switch and neutralize. This Raptors, especially in this current state, certainly did not have those players. And then on top of that, it's the chemistry. It's the fact that they innately understand where either of them's going. And even when you get them stuck, they're both incredible tough shot makers. And so kind of an irresistible will that they sort of push upon you. And I saw them do the same thing to Phoenix last time. Now, they also had a big deficit against Phoenix. They pushed it. They forced overtime. They actually took the lead, but Phoenix, obviously, they got weapons like KD, hit a big three to tie it. And then in overtime, it was actually similar to Raptors, Portland, where Portland just, like, hit the turbo on the Raptors after Raptors hit the turbo on Portland to force OT in the first place, and Portland was able to race ahead and win by 10, just like I think, you know, Phoenix was able to easily beat the Nuggets in overtime when they had nothing left. But still, you knew that comeback was coming, and I think that's one thing in the back of your mind for sure. Especially you go to halftime, you're like, man, everyone look around, they're up 17, it's like, this is as good as it can be. Now you're starting to think, not let's play fearless, let's play free, let's play whatever. Now they're starting to think, okay, how can I not screw this up? And I think the third quarter, the Raptors actually came out with a good approach. You know, they made sure to continue to attack Jamal Murray. They got him in pick and rolls. They got him on switches, and then they found him in the post. Kelly was attacking him in the post. Bruce Brown back cut him for a layup. You know, other guys were driving at him. RJ took the chances to drive at Jamal as well. But once the Nuggets sort of figured that out, resisted some of those switches, went under some of those screens, kept the matchups intact, kept Murray at the top of the floor, kept Jokic at the bottom of the floor, I think they started getting a sense of, okay, now we can really defend. And obviously the Raptors in their current state don't have these one-on-one creators. Best chance they have is like Kelly. Best chance they have is like RJ. But those guys all have some flaws. The thing is, at least that's better than some of the other options that the Raptors threw out there. And I think he probably should have kept Kelly in the game a little bit longer. Maybe could have tried some more two big lineups, because again, I think the Nuggets were really hurting them on the inside. Especially off their bench, some of those guys I'm more or less okay with them shooting. And so I don't even mind if you have two bigs. You can just like at least make yourself bigger and sort of, you know, do a better job of protecting the paint. He did play two big lineups in the first half as well, and I thought those were effective. Regardless, you put that aside, the reason the Raptors, you know, made it easy for the Nuggets to come back was because they just kept turning it over. And it was turnovers that came out of a time of panic. You see, the first half when the Raptors' second unit was against Denver's second unit, the Raptors actually played really good basketball. They actually waited on the Nuggets to make turnovers, and then they broke the other way, and that's a large part of why they built their lead. Second half was a totally different, it's a total opposite. The Raptors kept forcing passes, tight passes in short windows that just weren't there. I think the Nuggets also clued into the fact that the Raptors' best play on the night was somebody cutting back door and the Raptors feeding them. I mean, it's a lot of what Jokic does, but the Raptors were doing on the whole team scale. And, you know, you saw lots of combinations. You even saw like Grady to Ochai. You saw like RJ to Grady. You saw like, you know, usually Kelly to whoever, Jonte to whoever. Everybody was just cutting, you know, Bruce Brown to certain guys. So everybody was just, you know, backdoor cutting. That was the Raptors' number one play, at least in the half court. And so, you know, but they got away from that. There was a lot of driving downhill into traffic. Bruce Brown and RJ Barrett were guilty of this. There was some over-penetrating in the sense that they got to the rim, they drew two, but they started forcing up shots over Jokic, which honestly, Jokic is not easy to shoot over. Like, you got to have some skill, you got to have some ability, because A, the refs aren't going to call anything on Jokic. Number two, he's so huge and he's in great position, and that's how Jokic ended up having six steals and two blocks. The Raptors just consistently played into the crowd rather than baiting the crowd and then playing out of that. You know what I mean? And it's a careful balance for sure. And that's probably, when you talk about wins and lessons, that's definitely the big lessons in this one, because you didn't obviously win this game, but the reason you didn't win this game is because of the lesson here, is that you just kept turning the ball over. And that's when the Raptors will really regret it, because the Raptors lost the third quarter 42-30. And by that point, it's already like a two-possession game, and you know the Nuggets are going to close a two-possession game with a whole quarter to go. Raptors' offense down the stretch dried up. The only thing that they got sustainably were a couple of cuts, you know, Grady with a really nice one from RJ along the sideline there. Grady with another high low to Ochai. That was really nice. Those things were good, but ultimately the bulk of the Raptors offense down the stretch was RJ Barrett being able to attack and drive and, you know, take it, you know, end to end. And I actually really liked seeing RJ with the ball in his hands late in the game, because you typically wouldn't see that in most games. And even when we had some opportunities this season to see that specific idea, you know, for example, that the Pascal return game is probably the most notable one, where he had that chance to go one-on-one, and I think Nembhard forced him into that short turnaround jumper that came up just really short and whatever. But you saw in this one, RJ had the ball, you know, and I thought the Raptors had a good plan with it. Obviously, the issue with RJ closing games and you know, being the primary scorer is, I think to me, what you're largely wanting to see from RJ is to, you know, get downhill to his left hand and make a play at the basket. And I just feel like it's a little bit easy, I guess, or even predictable in a way, to see that from RJ. And I think that, you know, I think for your offense late game, you want to be a little bit more unpredictable than that, or at least undeniable. And I don't think that there's anything that he does that's like certainly undeniable. He's certainly very effective. There's a little bit of like nuance in what I'm trying to say here. But in any case, I thought RJ did a really good job. And I thought the Raptors also did a really good job setting him up. I thought Kelly did it in particular. I think Kelly was the five, so he was getting guarded by Jokic. RJ actually did a great job of using Kelly's screens, and Kelly did a great job of flipping screens, angling his screens to get that initial downhill momentum. And then RJ picked his spots well. Sometimes he went quickly. Sometimes he spun. Sometimes he, you know, was more direct. You know, there was a variety of moves that you saw from RJ. You know, he changed his tempo a couple times. Like, he just did a great job of getting to the spot. And again, everyone knows where RJ wants to go. Left-handed layup, you know, but he still gets there. That's a real skill. That's a real skill. And that's why you continue to see him being effective. And I thought he was effective in this one. Really, the regrettable thing was the turnovers. But, I mean, you saw RJ almost had a triple-double. 26.7 rebounds, 9 assists, 10 of 20 from the field overall, 1 of 3 from 3. There was one catch-and-shoot 3 late that he couldn't make. Honestly, you know, that's going to come and go. But the really good thing is he made all 5 of his free throws, which really shouldn't be that notable. But especially when he's been shooting, you know, sub 60% as a Raptor from free throws, 5 of 5, I'll take that any day, including some late clutch free throws as well. So at least you saw some late game offense. The thing is, that's, you know, RJ being able to get to a couple of driving layups or driving fouls or whatever, that's nothing compared to what Jokic and Murray did. And I don't think any team has a crunch time offense as good as those two guys in the pairing. To me, it's just like when I thought, and maybe this will be a conversation on tomorrow's show, because I do want to keep a bigger space for it. But for me, I'm just thinking about like, okay, at the end of a game, what's the best shot or what's the best offense you can get? And for a lot of teams, it's a pull-up jumper by a guy who's pretty good at shooting pull-up jumpers. Like, for example, the Clippers, the best shot they can get in the game is Kawhi with a mid-range pull-up. We all know in Toronto how good that shot can be, right? But we also got to be realistic with that. That's like probably a 45 to 50% shot. And that's pretty good. A two-point shot at 45 to 50% is pretty damn good, especially in crunch time, especially when you can create it in isolation. You know, I think for the Celtics, a lot of their things is also, you know, a pull-up three or maybe even a catch-and-shoot three for one of their weaker shooters, or it's like, you know, something like that. You know, a lot of teams late game is like that kind of offense, or like the best shot the Bucks can get late game is like Dame pulling up for three, which can be quite effective. But again, that's like probably like a 35 to 40% a three-point shot, which is really good again, but it's you know, that's those are good. The thing with the Nuggets that's so unique is the best shot they can get in crunch time is like a Jamal Murray layup or a Jokic layup, and they do such a good job of spacing and understanding how to play in those late game scenarios that to me that's the best shot any team can get in crunch time. And that's ultimately when I watch, for example, like, you know, Nuggets versus Lakers last year, they played that 4-game series. Obviously, it was all like single-digit games, but the Nuggets won all 4 and they swept them. You know, similarly to when they squared off recently, within the last month, you saw Nuggets versus unveiled Kobe statue with the misspelled Jose Calderon name on it. That's unfortunate. But in any case, that game when they unveiled Kobe statue and they had, you know, Denver playing against the Lakers, it's the same kind of deal. Denver late game scenario had better crunch time offense than the Lakers. And even a team like the Lakers with LeBron and AD can't get that quality of shot that the Nuggets can get. So, I mean, it's great that RJ got to a couple layups. The Nuggets obviously got different levels. To be honest, this is actually the best result possible, right? Raptors kept it close, played really well, and then they suffered the pain of losing, you know, the lead. And yes, you can say on one hand, yeah, you know what? What can you do against the league's best duo? But also at the same time, there's things you got to control. You know, outside of your control, is you can't force Murray and Jokic into misses. You can make them take hard shots. And honestly, for the large part, they did take hard shots down the stretch outside of a couple of Jokic opportunities there. But what you had in your control was the panic and the turnovers and the fact that the Raptors played in crowds and forced contested shots, and that got the Nuggets going in transition. The Raptors didn't lose this game necessarily in crunch time. They lost this game to the Nuggets second unit. And that's the thing that they got to come back and really, really feel bad about. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, they also don't have their two main playmakers in Scotty and Quickly. So obviously you're going to have some guys overstretch for playmaking. And in that sense, I'm happy they stuck to the system. I'm happy they played really well. It wasn't like they shot the three that well. 11 of 30 is 37%. That's about average for them. Raptors did a decent job getting to the foul line. You know, they actually outshot the Nuggets from there, made 14 free throws. The Nuggets made 11. It's just that the Raptors, you know, again, this was decided by one or two possessions, gave away probably 5 or 6 of those in the third quarter. So that's really the difference here. But a lot of guys stepped up and played well. I mean, I really want to salute to Jonte in particular. I think he's been a big opportunity for him, and there's going to be more opportunities, especially with Jakob out for the season, and Chris Boucher seems like he's not going to be back within a couple of weeks either. So maybe he'll come back, maybe we won't. But honestly, like, why would you even push it or risk it? There's going to be chances for Jonte, and I've always liked Jonte. I think there are certain moments where he's more hesitant and less aggressive. I mean, I don't know if he takes 7 threes in most games, to be honest, but he's open seven times for three. You know what I mean? And so he actually just didn't turn down the threes this one. So I like that. Maybe there's just a confidence playing against his brother. Maybe it's just a feeling of like Raptors Suicide Squad today. Just anything goes and just give your best effort, play free. But I thought he played really well, and I think I've liked his defense as well. I really want to see what he looks like, and I actually want to see the Raptors start to play more two big lineups just to compensate for the fact that they don't really have effective wings with size. Like, the only guy with that is McDaniels, and he actually did create a couple of driving short jumpers, but I'm not going to buy that. But, like, realistically, the Raptors, ironically, after trading away most of their Vision 6'9 guys, like, they actually – and sorry, that's my Duolingo alarm. Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. Literally. But they actually did a really good job of of getting rid of all their 6'9 guys. So now they need to compensate for the size elsewhere. And that's where I think that playing multiple bigs together could really help in that front. I just want to see how it looks too, especially with the fact that Jonte can shoot, Kelly can shoot, you know, just to see what it looks like. But in any case, those guys all, you know, both of those guys actually play really well at the center position. Like, you tell me that those two at center combined for what, 24 for Kelly, 14 for Jonte, so 38 points. They got you a combined 8 rebounds, which is not ideal, especially in this game where the Nuggets did, you know, attack the glass a decent amount. But they also gave you, 1 assist from Kelly and 5 from Porter, so 6 assists. Like, that's not bad offense. That really is not bad offense for your center, or your 48 minutes of center in that case, right? So, I enjoyed it. Bruce Brown, I mean, overextends himself a lot. I think that's the thing. Bruce Brown, when he plays a role, we know he can be very effective. Like, literally, we just saw him win the championship. And even before that, he was on playoff teams and in rotations and playing a good role, like for the Nets, for example. Now, of course, he's a guy who can play off of guys when they draw a lot of gravity, like Jokic, like KD. Like, you know, he's a good player to play alongside of superstars. When he actually has a crate and cook for himself, that's when you see the limitations, because it's a lot of contested driving layups. It's a lot of, like, you know, out of rhythm shots. He takes a lot of gambles to being super aggressive in moments that don't necessarily warrant for based on the advantages on the table. So I think in that perspective, you know, you're starting to see a totally different player. But I think that that's where the hope is. Well, number one, the hope is that he can play better and better and maintain his value. Not that it matters so much of how he plays with the Raptors, but I think the value that he needs to maintain in terms of for the Raptors to trade him is the fact that, you know what, he's got to continue to showcase that he can still do the great things well, which is catching and shooting, which is pushing the pace in transition, which is showing good energy and defending once in a while, which is, great cutting, right? And those things that made him effective with the Nuggets. And he was really a really good player for them, especially last year when they won it all. Like, he's got to continue to demonstrate those skills. All the other skills, when he's like asked, when he essentially not asked, I don't think that, you know, Darko's going to him and is like, hey, I want you to, you know, drive like Allen Iverson. Like, I think realistically, you know, he's taken upon himself to try to like push the team. And I would love to just like tell him not that, or someone, not me to tell him, but I would love for him to be told by like Darko or management or whatever, just like, hey, play your game. Just because you're in this team doesn't mean that you have to force it. Because I think that's where he gets himself into trouble, and it gets the team into trouble. But in any case, Grady played really well, you know, knocked down a whole bunch of shots. I like that. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. You know, the main story in this game was just all the Canadians, you know, involved in this. It was like, RJ versus Jamal Murray down the stretch. That was fun to watch. Obviously, Kelly Olynyk being the captain here, you know, he was pretty involved as well. Like, just the big Canadian presence. Then the subplot was the Porter brothers playing against each other as well. I think the third thing was just like, there was a lot of Kansas players in the building. Grady and Oach obviously starting for the Raptors, and then Christian Brown coming off the bench for them as well. So, you know, there was a little bit of that connection as well. And I thought Grady did a really good job. First of all, he played like the best out of the three of them, right? And it's not that much to outplay Ochai. I think he continues to showcase opportunities where he just looks limited offensively. Anytime he's like not doing something scripted and has to freestyle a little bit, then you start to see like the nerves, just he looks rattled and unsure in moments. You know, it's not necessarily smooth. But I think with Grady, you're seeing him being effective even without knocking a bunch of threes. That's really important to me, right? We've seen Grady have some, like, you know, bigger scoring outputs, like between 15, 20 points-ish, whatever. But typically that's because he hits like 4 threes. So you're already like at 12 points, or like you made 5 threes. Now you're at 15 points. And then whatever you do on top of that gets you to a 20 mark in a much easier moment. He only made 2 threes tonight. He was 2-4 from three. He didn't really turn down any threes either. He wasn't necessarily selective with the threes. He was still aggressive with the threes and took them when he needed to. Again, he took a pull-up 3-2 after missing a pull-up 3 before that. Nuggets did a great job running off the line. He still made a great impact offensively. The 7 assists and him facilitating, using the gravity on him and passing that advantage off to other guys, did a great job of that. His cutting was really good as well. And I think, and I made this point earlier, but I want to make it again, you don't have to throw the best pass to Grady because he's got great hands to corral. And even in a scramble moment where it's like not really smooth, he's able to corral, control, and find a finish, right? Not just throw it up there wildly, hoping, praying, like find a finish. Like he's actually intentional when he goes about this. It's one of the big differences between him and Ochai. In fact, when you see Grady play and Ochai play and Joran Wara play, like they all technically supposed to have this like similar skill sets. But the difference maker and why Grady's so much better than those two other guys offensively, maybe Warren can be a little bit better offensively too, but I don't know. Honestly, you look at this game, Grady clearly outplayed him. But Grady's movement and understanding of how to move and the comfort in moving and being intentional in the movements is exactly what is making him above the other guys. Because those other guys cut because that's what the play is, or that's what the design of the play is. But they're not cutting knowing, understanding how, if I cut in this direction or in this angle or with this kind of velocity, and if I cut in this direction, like how that's going to get me open or the next guy open. And Grady does a great job of that, just intuitively understanding. And again, the 7 assists is a career high for him. Just a really good job overall. Again, it's tough. Late in the game, they attack Grady quite a bit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he ended up on Jokic, had to guard Murray a couple times. Like, those are never going to go well. Those are other steps for him to go through. But for Grady, my big thing was just I wanted him to find something that he can root his confidence in, draw from that identity, and then go from there going forward, especially going into the offseason when he knows what to train for. Physically, we know he has to get stronger and things like that. I'm not expecting him to bulk up and become John Cena next year. Actually, that'd be really funny if he did, but, you know, speaking of get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. I think that, you know, you want him to, you know, just get stronger and so he can hold his position a little bit better. But offensively, he continues to show that, number one, the system fits his style, and also, number two, that he can be very effective within it. So happy for him, happy for the group. I mean, it sucks. I'm sure they're not happy. I'm sure they're kind of bummed out that they had the lead and they blew it. I mean, I think the lead was as big as like 20 some odd points. But nevertheless, you always knew that you were living on borrowed time. The champion's going to come collect. But hey, the Raptors play well, and they made it entertaining. So before I get to the 3 stars, I want to let you know a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Raptors Pistons, the next game. You ready to get fired up? Nothing else more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a spicy, tasty broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, all right, your 3 stars from tonight's performance. First star, I'll give it to RJ. 26 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Only thing was the turnovers and a couple of ill-advised drives, but come on. Like, if someone told you, Kelly, like, he's giving you this type of production as the leading man in this game, crunch time, you're still scoring, like, man, did a lot. He took his game to the next level for sure. I'm very proud of RJ. A couple of really big highlight dunks as well. And I'm like, this guy was just sick 2 days ago, and now he's dunking the ball like this. Like, incredible, incredible. Your second star from tonight's performance, I'm going to give it to Jonte. I really, really enjoyed his performance. 14 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. I did post on Twitter, and I think obviously it's going to, I don't know if it gets ratioed or whatever, but like, I was like, oh, I actually thought he was giving, you know, Jokic some problems. Funniest thing is Jokic finished with 35, 17, and 12 with 6 steals and 2 blocks. So clearly was not like afflicted, but I'm telling you, go back and watch a couple of this. Like, he actually got like 5 or 6 stops on Joker. That to me is impressive. And the threes was impressive. I'm just very happy for him tonight. He played really well. And I do think that out of all the guys that are on, like, you know, towards the end of the bench on minimum contracts with no guarantee for next year, Jonte is the one that I really want to keep. The other guys, like, they got to show me more, and then I'll maybe have a better assessment of it. But Jonte has shown that he could contribute and play, not at a super high level, but again, like, enough that I want to bring him back. And yeah, he continues to show me something. And then your third star, tricky to go with here. I think Kelly probably should get it. 24.6 rebounds and assists in 28 minutes. Was super efficient. 9 of 13 from the field. 2 of 4 from the 3. 4 of 5 from the foul line. I do like that Kelly flops his way into at least 3 calls a game. he does the stuff that's very smart, like clever veteran stuff. Like, okay, Jamal's guarding him in the post. I'm going to rip through, hook, and then go for the shot and get myself free throws. Like, stuff like that, or like he'll exaggerate contact. At one point, he flopped on Jokic. Joker like called him out for it, but I mean, What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? You're the MVP of the league. You're the finals MVP. Like, yeah, he flopped against you. Of course he did. That's a sign of respect, really. But, you know, Kelly really played well. I want to give it to Grady, too, but I think Kelly played better than him. So he's going to get the third star. Your Gerald Henderson Award winner. Honestly, nobody really on the Nuggets surprised you all that much. I think that everybody kind of played exactly the type of role that they should have. If I had to pick one, I don't know, man. I'll give it to Aaron Gordon, I guess. 19 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. That's one of the things where at the start of the game, he kind of went at RJ Barrett and like kind of put him under the basket and threw his weight around. I think for RJ, like there's levels to improve defensively for sure. Like right now, you can't tell me a specific archetype of player that RJ does a really good job defending. Whether it's movement guys, he kind of gets lost on cuts. If it's quicker guys, you know, does he have the foot speed to always close out and be in front of? Not necessarily. Or is it just strong guys, which typically I think is probably the best thing that he does. But we also seen like Bridges, you know, put some Bridges scored well against him, or like Zion scored well against him, or now Porter, like or Gordon. You know, three very different players, but primarily one of the main weapons in all three of those players is the size that they play with on the wing. And yeah, I just think there's other details for RJ's that grow into. But again, you forget that RJ's 23 years old. Like, he's not just because we've seen a lot of him doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you know, he's like, for example, people see Ochai as a project and RJ Barrett as like a more sure thing. Like, I think Ochai is like literally the same age as this guy. Let me look it up real quickly. RJ Barrett, born June 14th, 2000. Okay, first off, that's absurd. I've been in Canada longer than RJ's been in Canada. That's amazing. I came to Canada 2000 in April 3rd, 2000. So I've been in Canada officially 2 months longer than RJ Barrett. How about that? But So Ochai is actually, wow, he's born. Oh, he's a 420 baby. All right, shout out to Ochai. Okay. But in any case, yeah. So they're born in the same year, 2 months apart. But we see Ochai is like, okay, maybe he'll grow and develop. He'll do all this and this. And it's like, RJ, well, you know, he's already this. And I get it for sure. Like, there's a big sample size of RJ in the league. But in terms of, like, they're literally the same age. So I think for RJ, he can improve on defense. Just like I think Ochai has a lot to improve on offense. But ultimately, I'm pretty happy with the win. Oh, I can't believe I said that. With the moral victory. That's what this was. This is a moral victory. And yes, we are some minor league coaches when we were watching this team. But hey, they made it entertaining tonight, and that's all you can really do. That's, you know. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to The Raptors Show. And you've been listening to The Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. And, yeah, have a good night.